No, I mean, it's your choice. Document, Tumblr.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. I am Barbara Lewis. I am from Legal Services Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you. this is the broken is under 5.1.1, I just think there's something wrong with the sentence there, that the second sentence there, and pieces of legislation in Southern Parliament could do to address, I think it seeks to address the challenges of things that the commercial bonds and former owner areas, the CBI amendment book could also address some of the challenges. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Thank you, Chair. So, to the same bulk there. So, just under 5.1.1, just simply something wrong with the sentence there. I think pieces of legislation to be targeted in Parliament could to address, I think seeks to address, the challenges of tenancy cases of commercial farms at home. I just think we need to turn put into seek, or seeks to address. So, under 5.1.8, it says the prioritization of the acquisition of strategically located land that with adequate revitalization and development could support. I'm not going to read the whole sentence there, but it says that the Office of the Valuer General, once established, would address the challenge of re-estimating costs for land acquisition. I don't want to get into a debate about the Valuer General, there's legislation there already, but one of the points that we raised in some of the previous committee meeting is the turnaround time of the departments in acquiring land. Now, one of the reasons why cost estimation, if there's a delay of the department to purchase land, what typically tends to happen, farmers are farming, and insurance costs, their running costs, the very pushes up, keeps pushing or putting pressure on them, and then they're ready to start raising the costs. So I think there's also an issue of the department coming up with a proper policy to develop quick turnaround times in the acquisition of our property. I think that will help to assist with downward pressure on prices. So a lot of the upward pressure on prices is actually due to delays in the purchase process from the department. And I just think that's something that it was made clear by the Director General when you raised it. I don't think we should lose sight of that. Thanks. The second point under 5.1.10, the district and committees set up by the NDP could assist in area-based land reform that is driven by the needs and aspirations of local people. I would actually suggest that we make that a bit stronger. The district land committees are set up by the NDP plays an important role in area-based land reform and should be driven and inclusive of the needs and aspirations of local people and stakeholders. I think I'm a bit concerned that the district land committees have been much in favour of quick delivery. The department might have rushed into it too quickly and it's becoming a box-ticking exercise where we need the buy-in and involvement of all stakeholders on the ground. And I think we need to come strongly in that regards to that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much for letting me. I think the first one, colleague to the chair. The chair on time. Why the department is taking long to pay? Because then it's called the also to the department to call the check. The farm.
Thanks for
the
question. Yes, whatever the first one. Thank you. The last paragraph, 523. Level control by the commission. How would it be if we to recommend that the administration should consider, government should consider the advisability of setting a special pass to deal with this matter?
Thank you. is a new recommendation, so I said, no, it's just called MEM. When MEM becomes, thank you. I remember from 2 years ago, there was a discussion, I think, that they did to the media. We went to get this very secret information that there were limitations in terms of charges that can be preferred over land cases in the land court. And that they extended it even to other charges and magistrates who could preside over. Okay, let us establish that information first before we come up with our recommendation. But there is a court that is called the Senate Court. Yeah, I mean, the land claim court or the land court, whatever, but there is a court in this land.
Yeah, so I think it's a very important issue that's been raised. I'm not sure whether maybe we should put this as a separate recommendation, maybe we should have a separate discussion about it. But I'm not sure how many of the, or how, to what extent the no on the courts can be acted through, for example, mediation. And also there's been proper research that's been done, a research capacity around it. I think it is a bottleneck there that's delaying processes, it's causing all kinds of frustrations, and on top of that we also have under budgeting here. So there's a very real problem as soon as I'm finished with dealing with people coming towards us. So I would support medical kind that we maybe put some thought into whether it means that we should propose amended legislation or whether there should be a policy in place that we may get at least some report from the department as to what causes the delays and the bottlenecks in the land plans process. I think then we can, from our side, make specific recommendations to us to do that. So I think maybe we should put in a recommendation that specifically a report as to what causes delays at the land plans to come to this committee.
But I think the amendment was made to address the dangerous dealing with existing land claim cases. That is why it specifies that the Department of Justice must appoint, not even the Department of Commerce Development, because not this jurisdiction, but the Department of Justice must appoint the judge of the High Court so that they are able to deal with fast-moving land use cases. But it doesn't specify what an opportunity made for the Commission one day to come and just reach out and highlight some of the things that are ready for the delays of some of the cases. I think that we can do. But the amendment was made to address the delay with the land cases. I think it's
Chairperson, under recommendation 6.3, it makes the comment they consult farm workers widely, which I don't have a problem with. All stakeholders should be consulted as widely as possible. But I also have concerns expressed by a number of stakeholders about the consultation process, that there's an element of shifting goalposts, and if there's not clarity as to what was taken on board and not taken on board throughout this process. So I would like to suggest that there should be a report on the consultation process itself. It says here, to tell a report in Parliament about key policy proposals for further deliberation. I would like to suggest that we also have a report on what consultation process itself was followed and included there.
Thank you.
that I have a problem with form of this being specific and mentioned was that it's here to reflect your concern in the committee, where I would suggest that you say all stakeholders, including farm workers, should be widely consulted, the committee's wording like that, and that we say right at the end, where chief further, the minister having concluded consultation with farmers and stakeholders, should table a report in Parliament about key policy proposals and a report on the consultation process followed for further deliberation. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you, sir. Listen, frankly, I will handle this matter, but maybe we can come to some conclusion here. What has been happening is that the minister has made quite a few, given quite a few interviews to the media about policy proposals and stuff like that. You know, I would say in the last 9 months or so. Now, for how long will he continue to make those media statements before he as a committee have had an opportunity exclusively to decide these policy matters? And because this leaves a whole lot of stakeholders in the balance. People ask us, what is the actual final land policy? And we cannot provide comprehensive answers. As an individual, one is able to say, this is how I feel the matter should be handled. But I think we should come to some conclusion with the minister to say, for some capacity, we should get together and have, whether we call it an interim understanding of where we stand as government, rather than directly together with the parliament on this matter, so that we have got a common understanding of where the issues are. So my suggestion is that we perhaps we should make a proposal to that effect here, but there should be a timeline to say, for some capacity, we will have come to some kind of conclusion as to where we stand as government on this matter. Otherwise, there's a lot of fluidity in the matter. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. I think Member Bukhari and myself are sharing that telepathic link here today. So everybody's not joined the DA yet. I just want to. I think that my concern is that if I take, for example, us staying to the land in Daba, and we learn things there in Daba at the discussion that we have here in the committee. And I think to the extent that the committee itself is also, I think, you know, we don't want to give up the process after the fact. I mean, once matters have been concluded, we just sort of a summarized report at the end. Shouldn't we as a committee also, as part of the policy consultation process, be briefed on the process and our opinions also solicited? I think you'll recall that's one of the reasons that the GA has consistently not supported the TER program, because you hear things in the media, it's not been discussed in the committee yet. I think I would support a proposal saying that the policy proposal currently being discussed by the minister as part of his public consultation, and the committee should get a briefing on it. You know, and that we make that's a standalone recommendation.
So the department is having its own mandate, we are having our own mandate. So the department can continue with its own program without involving us. We can continue with our own COVID program sometimes without involving the department. But when looking at the annual performance plan, I think there are time frames of when the department is going to table this quality to the committee. We must entrench it from there, that the committee will start our own process to debate the policy, we invite proponents, we invite the proponents, we submit to follow all the processes until the final stage of the policy. That's my understanding. Because the annual performance plan is here, that this policy must submit to the department, then it will submit it on this day, this one on this day. So it's our responsibility then to oversight, to make sure that the departments are submitting these policies as planned. Then after the policies have been presented to the committee, then we take the relevant policies forward. But the department has got its own consultation process whereby we are not involved. Then when the policy or is presented to us, we are taking our own consultation process without involving the department.
I think this program is welcome. We can check out the proposed program under the stand up to NGCD, obviously we have the process whereby the proposal for this is that will be discussed. I don't know if it has been covered. But I want to come down with my colleagues, Chair, which one of the things that skills, if you are a leader or you are part of this college, do you have any woman radios, do you have them? Who are you leading? Who's leading who? I'm trying to have a both for about 6 times. No, that's so good. It's so important for survival for us as members to be fed information before, like to hear from the media. For example, I want to be aware that there will be launchment in Soviet, I just said it from the media, on the, I guess, on the 8th, and in Camaras, I even got an email from the community member, but I'm not even aware. So I'm saying it's so important for us as members of this committee to be formed in advance of things happening within the cabinet. So the lodgement in 19 May to 11 May, 11th. Option B, Copanon Wall, and I'm not even aware, they're living in New York. So, of our yes. I'm saying, Chair, if you are a good leader, remember we are representing the citizens, we must be aware of this information, share that information, see. Yes, I know the department has implemented, but we as politicians even have to have an oversight on their work. That is my decision. But in supporting, we must get the information tested. So I was saying, Chair.
Oldman was working with his IV in his mouth and he went into the shower. And then when the water hit the pipe, he saw somebody was eating with something. He wasn't aware that the pipe was in his mouth. The doctor, by all of us, when we learned the past, all of us were invited to the event was in power. And with the lunch, there was a list of areas, programs, and areas of the launch. And the person moved from this area to that area. And I think we had a meeting after that where the program was again distributed. We had no program. We invited to all those various areas. And the people said, we need a reminder. Can I? I didn't call a bunch of oil when you were speaking, but it's within and also my friend can call a bunch of oil. Let me share that.
There's a contradiction because your analogy of the pipe man having a shower, I don't even understand it, or not what I'm saying, because obviously I'm aware that there was an invite that they were given to us. And that invite is failed because they said in the morning, 2 o'clock, they did not even know the venue. I just think those are the things that must be honest with. And that situation, I don't even have it. And maybe our administration has failed to be prepared.
Let's just close this message by saying that I think the problem was created on that day, but we will further request, we will get a firm, open the underlying matriculate and also request the commission that we matriculate the problems of the mobile, even of other provinces, so that our constituency as members who are at home, we know that we can visit the large mobile center of the digital access app to transfer and also digital access app to mobilize that the existing problem that was taken into on that day was that you were supposed to go to keep it also to help it, because to see how they were trying to get a woman and a bobo here to get that and keep it and consistency things are also to get, but you discuss the program and the situation to members so that when the mobile comes to your city, you will be able to get it.
I'm satisfied with your response, but I'm going to say it's so important for us as members to have that information on hand. I was making that example, not of a type in the shower. In a sense, I'm part of the worker who was asking about the time, but which is so important for members to know things in advance.
Yeah, I think it's so important for members to know some of the things need advance because, as I said, that they do have a share of power. That means that the department must do it on their own, which is not the order of the day. They must continue it. But some of the things they must tell the rules to ensure that they have to just inform the committee about, they must do that. So can you proceed to the application 19?
So when will the point of order so that I can what that is of the funding. Because for the reason of the they are not stressed, you know,
they must do their own thing, they come with their own financial terminology, not the terminologies that are alleged in the case of the consensual resolution. And as they want to shoot,
Jim spoke earlier about Department of Justice and Land Plans and the Land Plans Portal, that maybe we should get a report and then some kind of an assessment of that as well. The same goes, I think, for the Land Rights Management Facility. The previous committee, we had one of the feedback we got from the department is that the Department of Justice are not coming to the party when it comes to the Land Rights Management Units. And so I wonder under 6.17, whether we should also consider asking for a report on it, whether there is what the liaison with the Department of Justice as it relates to the Land Rights Management Unit, whether we should ask for a report in that regard. Yes, but specifically pertaining to what interactions they have if the Department of Justice comes about. So remember, that was what things they raised to the committee previously. It is a judicial subject, you know, and it sounds like it's becoming entirely carried by our department, and it's not all function of the Justice Department. There's a element of the Department of Justice that needs to be there. And then I think, in terms of the economic trust, was just to support what was said here, I think it's more than just compliance with financial terminology and legislation. If we had to approach the Ngonyama Trust Board as an entity where money is getting invested from government for particular results, I think we should, and I'm maybe the terminology isn't right here, but something along the lines of service level agreement. What is the department getting up in terms of the impact on the rural poor, in terms of setting up viable business entities, empowering people? I think they should be reporting to us in terms of clear indicators as to what happened with government money to improve the lives of people. So I think we should link it up to what you said previously about social impact assessments. I think we should actually look at having a service level agreement with the ITB or something of that nature.
I think that's a good note. I think that's one of my beliefs, the issue of the consumer's monitoring of the entity by the department, because there's a level of monitoring, that is why ICT is not following an outcome of procedure, especially on their expense side of reporting process to the department. Then any other thing on page 20? If there's nothing, then we'll just get a move on for the adoption of the report with the amendment.
Close off by making this comment that there's a committee, we owe to you and your team, who say we appreciate the effort that has been made to come up with as comprehensive a report as possible. Thank you
for appreciate that.
I want to tell you not from the DA. Your own venue.
Did you move officially so?
Mm. Sorry? I agree with the adoption of the report as a minute.
Thank you very much. Any particular
Chairman, there is a discussion regarding this report that myself and a member of Congress is part of. We don't have a problem with the report as it stands, but there's one or two existential issues that we have regarding the report, I think particularly pertaining to the amount of money that is made available for restitution. So we would like to abstain from supporting this report at this stage.
Yeah, I think we're
Take a one. the issue on which I've had my head up for long, I thought of, is that participants in the committee are free to raise issues in the committee at the committee discussion. And that it is an abuse of process. It is an abuse of process to have double standards. Participate in the process and the process culminates. Dissociate and distance oneself. It's an abuse of process. I do not know what part of democracy that falls under. For democratic parties, even with democratic names, it's a lot of democracy that means. It cannot be corrected, it's very, very abusive. Because if you abstain, then you abstain. If you participate, then you participate. The product, whose product is it now? Whose product? Because you participate in the painting process, then you paint the room beige, and when it's beige, you abstain from the beige color. But you have been part of painting the color. You've been part of participating and giving the final, then the ultimate product. The recommendations coming from you have filtered into the ultimate committee recommendations. And at that stage, you then abstain. Yet you then abuse. You then effectively abuse. No, I have listened. I never raised a hand when the people were talking something that was completely absurd. Thank you so much, Chair. Yes. Thank you so much, Chair. Then we must voice our discontent that we are abused by our colleagues who help influence the color of the paint, but once that color is there, who want to go back to the original paint ingredient and be as little white. Well, now the paint is beige. And I hope the analogy is very relevant and very clear. And therefore, based on that, I should think that we also, as the rest of the members of the committee who have participated, voice for noting our utter discontent with that kind of an approach, which is a very, very abusive one. Absolutely abusive. I'm sure of a stronger word. It shouldn't be tolerated, truly speaking, in any part of our society. That people participate in the process, influence the process, then their own product then is actually disposed. Then lastly, Chair, your point, Chair, that if there are any outstanding issues, let those come. I think it's absolutely correct. You are just right, Chair. If there has got to be a debate on the values of the restitution, it would just be nice that the committee entertained us. Quite a number of issues we got into the submissions by our two colleagues. On their submission on the budget of restitution, why do I have the fact that we were going to buy in? So therefore, it felt defeated on the other end in ideological terms. So whether you are not submitted and just abstain on the basis of that, why is that you are going to win? Thank you.
This might have an advantage whereby now Mother Nguni has influenced us. Firstly, we have used that opportunity to support this item in the sense that we suppose not even participate. Shocking. After the Islamic democracy, that when you participate, you have to agree. No. I've got my right to say no to that we abstain on this issue as we contributed. Well, it's a draft. You don't have a final document. What more, whatever that we contributed, it's not even on that document. When it comes, as a final document. Short enough to have to say, you should have to
I think this process is not a game. This process is a serious process. We can't play with the draft, saying to members they must comment or input on the draft, and we don't take the input of the members very seriously. Because what we're doing here is our responsibility. After this meeting, we have to go and just insert the amendments that have been made by members so that we come out with the final report. But I don't think that we have to waste time and discuss this matter, because they said that you agree with the policies, but you have got some revision on the budget from this decision where you have to set up on that or whatever. So I think it must be looked at, because we are not supposed to say that
you allow Mama Nguni to say that, which we are abusing. But when you do the same, we are the same. Now,
I'm still on the floor. I think we must respect one another. Because I've been listening to you So now I'm trying to just conclude this meeting so that we move with the same understanding. Another way,
Jefferson, Memnon's ruling was completely and utterly out of order. There's nothing in the rules that I'm aware of, if I'm wrong, please point it out in the rules, that says we cannot participate, and for reasons that we don't decide to do, I kept on abstaining from the final product. Now, Joseph, I did give because I was pressurized, I did give a very broad set of reasons why we got, and we decided to abstain that. It's really about comparison. What they can do, but if we all realize that this committee is not operating in isolation, we mentioned various departments here that impact on what's going on this, what this department is doing. We have started because we want to go and compare. We haven't had the opportunity to copy because of the very confusing program that we had of the House here. So, but we don't actually have to state any reasons why I abstain. So I think it's very simple. We participated in the fight. I believe it was in a good spirit. Now there's some type of a collectivist, antagonistic reaction, which is, I don't believe is substantiated by any of the rules. So Lennon Gunis is entirely entitled to express his view, to also advertise his intolerance. But you know, the fact of the matter is, we're entitled to say what he's saying, we're entitled to participate, we're entitled to abstain, which incidentally I've seen on AMC do very often as well. So let's not get into remarks of bad faith and remarks about tolerance. Frankly, our democracy doesn't work. That way, so maybe, please be quiet from talking. Please call it to order. Please call it to order. Thank you. So I believe that these remarks are out of order. So Chairperson, we're entitled to that statement. I think everyone expressed themselves, then we move on. Thanks.
Honourable members, I think we will not be ready for the agreement indicated by our colleagues. I think we need to proceed to the next item on our agenda. Thank you very much, honourable members, for participating, for commenting on the report. This is a committee report, but when we go to your house, we can talk whatever that you want to talk. But this is a committee report. All of us were involved in drafting this report. Colleagues, I think you remember that we visited Rama, another Michelle Maradei, another Michelle Maradei,
I remember
when we applied or public work, because it was an
overtime. I remember that.
So, we've invited the department to come and just with us about the state of that CPA, and those who are part of the oversight decide what beneficiaries are paying. So if we have the oversight business, we don't just come back, you know, we diary and sit down with the information. We have to process the information and see how best can we intervene as a committee to make sure that they assist the beneficiaries. Then we don't waste your time, then I will take this opportunity and visit to the department to brief us about the issues of Rama. We have also requested the legal advice from Parliament that you have arrived on how best to be intervened as a committee with regard to the Rama issue. I think in our next meeting we will also include the Rufus Mark. Issue, but Rimpasma is different from Rama because Rama is a CPA, Rimpasma is fast. So in our next meeting, we must make sure that we include the Rimpasma issue so that we are guided and advised. And when we go back to those people, we must have give them the progress that was made in this community so that it's public, they must take us seriously as doing the overnight visit. They must not say you are having a big dialogue with you. They're concerned then, you know, to quit and not coming back to give them the feedback. So we decided to invite the department to come and bring us about the Rama CPA and also the initiatives that they put in place to make sure that the beneficiaries are being assisted. This will be a pleasure, the leader of the delegation, hoping that you will speech on this matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honourable members. In the department, we have the lending and administration branch, and within that branch, we have the chief director that deals with health issues and the methods of CPA. There's now a dedicated component called the CPI director that deals with the communal property associations as well as the trust, which has been formed for lending reform. Jeff Mbappe is the director of that unit, and inside that component, a component that deals entirely with CPIs that is led by Mr. Mukhasha, and Mr. Mukhasha is also one who has been dealing with the court issues with a permanent legal training. We brought with us also a legal section because the issue is a legal matter. And we appreciate the opportunity to be able to present this report, and also appreciate the fact that the committee, upon finding things out in the oversight deck, has now invited us to come and address the issue. I believe the report was circulated to the members as well as the presentation, so I'm going to be asking some questions to make that report to this chair. Thank you very much.
Chairperson and honourable members, I will be presenting the Rama CPA report. This report, the way it is structured, I will attempt to give you the background, just to give some background information to those members who might not have an idea of how Rama CPA came about before I get into the issues of challenges and issues. Rama was initiated after the community has launched a claim in Eastern Service in 2002. And as part of settlement of that claim, two portions of land were acquired. The major approximately 754 hectares in extent, and they were acquired for an amount that's over $50 million. The community itself is part of the Bahad Abamakawi, which is under the chiefship of Chief Basabasa Mukere. After the settlement of the game, an entity, CA, was actually registered to acquire, hold, and manage them on behalf of the community members. There are some income generating activities that exist on the acquired lands, and that some of which have continued to this day. We have a party that was operational when the farm was acquired, and it is still operational at this moment. It is the main income generation activity for the CPA. In addition to the party, the CPA has initiated the establishment of a museum and an entertainment center which has the cinema. Then, in partnership with the municipality, Metropolitan Municipality of Fun, and some private investors, the CPA is in the process of developing housing on the land. Then, we have a committee which was elected in 2002, comprising of the members whose names are listed there, Kuidimambo, Larry Pina, Komodo Mutonera, Jokoda Tsimaki, Kamente Ezo, and Kitako Den Jedina, Komodo Bojini. This member was supposed to hold office for a period of 5 years, which period expired on the 23rd of May, 2007. Then the next slide deals with the party activities, just as in a broad overview of what activities are happening within the acquired operation. That is the main income, huh? And it supplies mining and crushing stone, barite and sand. They also supply concrete and cement bricks to that line. That is the picture of the next slide. This is the picture of the museum. and then the flat number 7 just gives the details the entertainment center. Then flat number 8 is the feature of the TK office. They have certain challenges moving to the next slide. There has been some challenges within the CTA. The main one being that the CTA is the legacy community system of what has expired. And they still run the access of the CTA after the start of the system of office. There are also allegations of misappropriation of funds by the country members. And the various committee does not submit reports to the department as required by the CTAF. And there have been some interventions that were initiated by the department in this regard. Initially, through the RLCD, the Regional Commission of Housing, there were attempts to try to solve this problem through internal mediation. And when that changed, there were attempts to try to resolve the issues within the CTA using internal personnel to go there, mediate and try to get access of the CTA in order. And when that fails, the research providers were appointed to try and mediate the issues with the entity. And then RLCC feels that they was not accepted out of its intervention, then moved on to approach a court for an order that will put this entity under administration. Then the order was granted in terms of the ruling, and it required the CTA to hand over the books, this book of accounts, to the auditor for auditing purposes. However, there has been, as the last bullet indicated on the slide panel, there has been some challenges in trying to execute that court order, in that the bank did not want to prevail by handing over the CTA statements to the auditor. I indicated the intervention there, which there was some intervention issued by the RLCC. After that mediation failed, then the RLCC instituted procedures to put the CTA under administration. However, that application was not successful because of the local standing. The CTA Commission Committee raised the local standing of the court, and then on that ground, the court dismissed the application. And then a new application was initiated by the department, and that application is still pending in court. However, a release the return that I was granted, which required that the CPA turned over the books of accounts, and the CPA turned over their books of accounts. But for the auditors to be able to analyze the audit, they need access to also the bank statements to confirm some of the transactions that are questionable in their report. There is a need to approach the High Court to validate the ruling in order to ensure that the bank grant us access to the bank statements of the CTA. And there is also the issue that came to light that after the granting of the ruling, the CTA Integration Committee lawyer obtained another order without the lawyers of the department knowing that the application that is going to quarter order that is going to be granted, that in essence postpones the relative changes. And what we have requested is we've instructed the lawyers to now bring this issue of the court order that they did not know about to the attention of the court and try to get that issue solved. Then the lawyers that were appointed to represent the country also requested to expedite the main application to put up the CPA under administration. Because even though the term of office of this committee has expired, the interim committees continue to engage in activities that may be detrimental to the interest of the members. And in condition, we are saying that if we can build this CPA under administration, it will neutralize the influence of the executive committee members, who it will neutralize the influence of the executive committee members who are accused of misappropriation of funds. And they are removed from office to ensure that the playing field is level, and that will enable the regularization of the assets of the city. And in the long run, will benefit the members because it will then change the way for fresh citizens to be held. Thank you very much. I think my colleagues will have on the familiar aspects of the case.
Are there any questions?
Mohari is the legal person from Amida Society, and she has nothing further to add to what she has said. Thank you.
Okay, maybe
that's to bring it to the committee's attention as well. The lady questions as to why there was this delay in terms of the finalization of the court process. When we obtained the remuneration, one of the things that we wanted to do was, in order to confirm or to verify the allegations against the executive committee, we had to have a look at what the level of compliance was. I think there's not been submitting a report. We then enlisted the services of an auditor who is auditing the books of the CPA, and that the auditing firm, the team that was assigned to work on the books of the CPA, the lead auditor was the second Mr. Lawrence Mwepi, who after doing an extensive work on the audit of the books, was shot dead sometime in 2013. And after he was shot dead, that's part of the investigation. The police had to take his laptop and other documents that he might have been waiting on, that he was waiting on, in order to check if there might be some leaks with regard to the killing of Mr. Mwepi within the document that he was waiting on. And that process, so the investigation process, and the conclusion that the matter of the leak auditor was not related to this work, then the documents were used to the auditing firm together with the laptop. And on that basis, then they assigned somebody new to then work on the audit that were assigned to the lead auditor with the RFP. So that is.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Before I allow members to engage in the presentation, can I see the parliamentary leaders advise to advise it on the next memory and engage in the next update as well. Over to you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the opinion I was prepared to do, I submitted to the committee on 10 March this year. I think the department has already responded to what I advised in their opinion. We've brought to the CPA in this instance because we're thinking about the first class issue and the CPA with Chairperson's permission, I will for the purposes of this meeting limit myself to the CPA matters. I highlighted the fact that if there is a dysfunctional situation, that the department or any other interested party, the CPA, a member of the CPA, the DD, can, in terms of Section 13 of the CPA Act, approach the court to keep certain powers and assign certain management functions to address the dysfunctional issue. From what I hear now, acts that have come after I've submitted my opinion, this appears to be the situation that the department has actually acknowledged that dysfunctional situation and is in the process of taking such court procedure steps. But it has not yet been concluded. So it's a little bit of a tricky situation for a committee as well now, because the committee is seeing that steps are being taken, but it's in the process of the court still needs to amend the finding as a, or their ruling as the department has indicated. But they are all still acting within the limits of the act. What is concerning to me, and I would just like to find out more information about that, is the fact that the committee, the executive organ of the CPA, that was a dysfunctional situation in the fact that they were taking decisions, but they weren't in existence anymore. Their terms lapsed. Maybe an issue that the committee can engage the department on is what the extent of those decisions were, how they impact, because obviously the legitimacy of those decisions come into question. Somebody acting on your behalf, making a decision, but you don't have the power to make that decision, where does that leave the community, and to what extent that intervention will be focused on addressing that issue. So that's just a legal question that popped up now for me, is then what about that? What about those decisions? So in essence, in terms of my opinion, as far as what the department is empowered to do and as far as intervention, they are in line with that. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much for the address that you've given to the committee. Can we engage on the presentation? Or I was thinking about the choices first. In other words, there's no commission. There's no CPA committee because it came up with the fire in 2007. Although when looking at what you're presenting, was just looking at the picture, when the chairperson was part of the unveiling of the museum, while their chairman was quite long ago, so they don't want to relinquish those positions. Then, Honorable Members, Honorable Presidente, Honorable Sumo, Honorable
why is the department willing to engage with a committee which has expired? Because that's what one would call collusion. You are admiring yourself by calling to an incident. And the question that follows naturally with that is what document is there that defines your relationship as a department with the committee? Something like an SLA, you know. If there is one, if there is none, why is there none? The next question is, has the department, since the expiry of the term of the committee, and made any support, whether in funds or any other form of support, has the government made a support available to the committee? And that was a court order. The local standing rule naturally is the one that placed the RLCC, you know, where placed them offside. Now, what chance now we are stepping in within the department, and on what basis does that person or the institution feel that they have got a leg to stand on? And my last question is, do you people really need departmental help in the first place, that they simply have funds to be able to pick all the departments. You know, because it looks like they have funds and maybe they don't need, you know, departmental help. And lastly, I would suggest that if the institute any further action against them, just check on the applicability of Romans 65, Section 65, in the legal appraisal of the hotel. In other words, they should be able to provide a security that they will be able to carry the cost. Because I see a risk you could keep on, you know, when providing them with their, you know, with their legal proceedings. At the same stage, the department may find itself, you know, going to a court process only to find that they are not able to make suit a judge, you know, a wide cost as well to the department. They should be able to provide. Now at the moment, you invoke such things of the time. Then that's where the question of their local standard comes in. Do they have the right to say this funds are available as security, you know, as we go to court? And in so doing, you report the matter of their case. Thank you, sir.
Committee is still there. You know,
people there were very anxious about the situation they are getting from the Department of Justice. Because the Department of Rural Development is signed by all means. But you know, the Department of Justice is in the right now. Thank you very much.
I want to check the Wipong Kalut in relation to funding and the PFMA. My understanding of the PFMA is that if you give out money, the responsibility lies with you to ensure that that money is used properly. You don't just give it and then say, we've given you the money, by what happens if you own the baby. But I think there are certain obligations on the side of the funder to monitor and give support service. And if your support service and your advice is not taken, what other legal avenues do you have in terms of intervention to stop the project? I want to stop this because this will help me to moving forward to know, to understand why it took 7 years. For this country where it is now. And as we are talking, I mean from your report that you said earlier that there's a problem. House that you built actually, if it's not a building, the big houses that were built 2 years ago on the side of the football ground, that's no development. And now there's a new development again on the other side towards the quarry or something like that. But there's new developments. And the other thing is that people are actually paying money to expect there and to grow up occupying those houses. Some of them are not necessarily the locals people, beneficiaries or descendants of beneficiaries on that property. I'm saying what intervention do we have? I mean, you know, is there something that we can do? Or there's nothing? If there is nothing, then what are the, I mean, you know, how will, I mean, because who will want the head of department to account to all the monies? And if he cannot account, what are the implications? Because failure to accommodate means failure to take instructions from the government, you know, finance, there are special regulations and all other things. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chair, thank you so much. I'm adding to my colleague a question regarding the role of the department to intervene where the term has expired. But I want to ask in respect, I mean, independently, but they're in the same room. You're not going to do a court process of taking one outside and bringing one inside and say, I hope that they will have independent answers, completely independent. Start with the, I think you have recognized the data. I know in some other services called OJ. I want to start by asking from her chair, LP, according to the CPA provision, Act, what happens when the term is expired, according to the legal issue? And go back to Dr. Lutz to ask the same question. Sometimes we call you Ms. Lutz, I think we should apologize what we are violating your academic standing. Yes. To ask the same question. What, in your understanding, must have gone through the CPA Act, and what is the provision for the situation where it has expired, the term has expired? And lastly, for Dr. Lutz to say, between March and now, like my colleagues are saying,
this is a matter that has checked for 7 years. I do not think, not badly, but in a very friendly terms of terms, I do not think that we should be specified, not in your own account, nor in our own behalf, that the sufficient progress, because 7 years, 8 years have elapsed. I mean, over and above, if I'm right, over and above the normal committee term of the CPA, you know? So, certainly we are not satisfied with the progress. We are definitely not satisfied with any progress. There are issues that have been made, that houses are being built, and there's complete alienation of the community there themselves, like you alluded, you know, in my colleagues and in Kustan. So in other words, the chair of that CPA, executive chair, has no authority. That's simply what it means. Has no authority, has no basis to be there and to continue to do things on behalf of the people. So that was my addition to the question. Thanks.
Honorable
Madame,
the last one is the Department of Police.
Thank you, Chair. It's a very short question, Chair. Has there been any insight to this department? Whether there has been any reason why, on the basis of the understanding and acknowledgement of misappropriation funds, whether that could not have been referred to the appropriate authority for investigation, I'm talking here about the walks, etc. Why has that not happened?
Chair, I thought that the best way would be to respond to the question in the order in which they were asked, and I want to ask the officials who have intimate knowledge to view those, as well as the question that was raised to our legal expert. And but just to say that the regularization process itself is about making sure that the AGMs that are being held, it's about ensuring that, when you get to hear about them, obviously, it's about ensuring that the Addis financial statements, all of the requirements to be compliant with the legislation are in the legislation. And I think that we've been saying at the different times when we have given the annual report that the biggest problem in the department has been the lack of capacity, dedicated capacity. When I introduced the colleagues, I mentioned that they are now building this capacity, and inside the department with the new land tenure and administration branch is this component. But as you can well imagine, this capacity that we have, we only have it inside the national office. In other words, where the actual implementation happens, we still don't have the capacity. If I can just let you know, we have a person who is acting in the continuous position of a director and the property management only in the department. We are currently filling the post of the director, because we actually, when the establishment of these CPAs, of these CPIs, the trust and the CPAs, there is no capacity, which is why we are bringing the CPA amendment bill to Parliament. One of the things in that CPA amendment bill is the establishment of the Office of the Registrar and the Deputy Registrar. The Office of the Registrar is going to have to be very much like the what is it called, CPR office, CPR office in actually registering, in supporting, in making sure that these things are being done. Just also to alert members that when you talk about CPIs, we are talking about the communal property associations as well as the trusts which have been formed by the beneficiaries, the choice that they make to form either a CPA or a CPI, and but the trust as official legislation is administered by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. We work with them in order to say, because the experience, the problems, the challenges that are experienced by the CPAs are identical. and we've been trying to say to them, or working with them, say they need to also accept amendments. As you might well know, a trust is a persona also. In other words, they have a right to run their affairs in the manner in which they want. The CPR, we have responsibilities as the department in the support, and we'll talk about whatever support has been given to this particular CPA when my colleagues respond. Thank you very much. I thought I should have given the good example. So the amendment to the Act is probably going to give us more capacity to be able to intervene directly and timely when we become aware of the issues. Thank you.
So I'm going to ask Mr. Ashok, and our legal expert also to answer the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I will start with the question raised by Honorable Susan relating to the issue of the engagement we have with the Oil Commission. Why are we still engaging the Oil Commission? I think it's legal. The term of office of the Oil Commission expires. But the first situation is that they are still running the affairs of the Integrated Commission. And which is why we then decided that because they are continuing to run the affairs of this Integrated Commission, even after their term is expired, we then have to approach court to get them removed from that management of the Commission, in order to ensure that fresh people can then be elected to run the affairs of the Commission. There is this perhaps if we go that route, it will be very difficult for the two legal minds to come thereafter and have anything different. I don't know if it was a special, maybe they will indicate. Because then if supposes that nothing could be done according to the CPA Act, except to approach court. But if that answer comes directly, then he could go on then and indicate maybe, I do not know. Maybe they chose to answer in the manner in the specific question table. Clearly, the underlying question is that one. What is the legal regime regarding? And then once that is clarified, then that follows. I don't know, I just thought, because if he goes like that, when they come and say, we could do 1, 2, 3, then they have the next to sort out, you know.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. I'm learning facts in this situation as it is coming out. The members mentioned this, he's just... I just want to put that on the table. When I got the opinion, it was very much theoretical what can a committee be to exercise oversight. So I this for me is a fact-gathering session as well. From what I understand in the CPA Act itself, just to bring it down to the basics of just the structure of it, the Act itself is very broad. I did mention in my recommendation to the committee that it might be a situation where the CPA Act could require some amendments, and that the committee should link or liaise with the department on that matter. So I observe that there may be, as the department has indicated, some areas of communication out. But it's a very broad general act, which gives community members the opportunity and power to establish a structure wherein they regulate their own interests. And what the act does in the setting up of the structure is requires that a constitution be erected or adopted and drafted, and that a member of the department be there to witness a ceremony and everything, and minuted. But the act merely says that this constitution must address certain issues highlighted in the schedule. And in the schedule of the act, it highlights that the constitution of every CPA must set out how the committee is established, how they are voted into office, how they are removed, all those issues, as well as listing how financial matters are handled, how disciplinary matters are handled, and all of those, almost like corporate governance issues, article 6, article constitution. I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage in that I have no idea how the Rwanda CPA or community's constitution looks at all. I think it might be of interest for me to request that document, because that will indicate if there was disciplinary issues with how the executive members handled it. How was that, was that system proceedings instituted? All of those issues may culminate in why there was such a long process, because if the constitution required certain steps to be taken, those steps might have left issue as to why the executive committee was not established, what was the problem. That might clarify the situation. So I'm very much talking in a what could have, what would have situation, daydreaming of what the constitution might have said. That linked to with what the department indicated in their presentation. They briefly mentioned that there was a mediation, and there were mediation attempts. I'm not sure what those mediation attempts all included, how long that took. Was multiple mediation attempts? Did they sit down with the committee or the community maybe in engaging on what their constitution said? And that to me is also a little bit vague. So when I say it seems as if the department is acting within the ambit of the act, it's merely as the information is being provided to me. When one fleshes out those details, I see what steps the community did to in terms of their powers, their constitution, ask the executive committee certain questions. Did they bring them to task? Did they try to bring them to task and fail? Did the department then send to take intermediation? How long did that take? Why? What were the cases? What were the failures in that mediation process that ultimately led to them as a last resort approaching the court? So that to me is all pressed up in the air at the moment, because the Act does not provide those details. Those details you only get when you engage with the community and the constitution at a factual level. But yes, in essence, their constitution should be telling the committee through the department then what happens when that term of a committee ends and why those steps, because their registration would not have been proper if their constitution did not address that issue. And then in addressing that, what did there was what cycle re-election or the new election. With our key honourable member in Chablain asked a question with regards to the CPA or the NPA. Must I reserve comments on that here for honourable member? Or can I must I wait until a member in Chablain returns, because he asked a question of the PSMA and Chair, with permission of the committee, I would like permission to go and look into that, because that's also now the idea that the department could have pushed further funds into the CPA and the management thereof is also something that needs to be. As far as I understand the PSMA, where public funds are involved, you must account for it. And the accounting office that has certain responsibilities, I would like to, in the context of this, is that if the department responds in clarifying whether they indeed did push further funds into, except for the 15 million, as has just been highlighted, gathering those facts, then taken and go evaluated in terms of the relevant legislation report back to the committee with an actual factual basis, apart from just saying that an accounting officer has certain responsibilities and must annually state how public funds are being entered, because that to me is a very broad space. I would also like to highlight that a few members indicated that it ran from 2007 to 2014, and that runs over more than one parliamentary term. It might be of interest to also look at Section 17 of the CPA Act, because there, regardless of whether litigation or judicial steps are taken to intervene in a dysfunctional CPA, the department has a responsibility to annually report on how that is managed, and that must perhaps also then be backtraced and backdated. In terms of the drama situation, so if the dysfunctionality came to light in 2007, how is that annually reported on as being addressed in terms of the Section 17 responsibility? Thank you.
After the legal officer's response, we also need to have Aligan representative report at this point. And maybe I do want to ask the chair just to guide on the process. I thought the easiest way was to get other questions ready, but it seems logical to ask other questions than every previous one. So maybe we get to the legal response as well, and then we get to our second comment that puts all this to the remainder of the questions.
I think we should be doing the development of the department and the quality of the development. Like what we must not forget is that although the CPA has got their own constitution, according to my understanding, the CPA acts to consist of the constitution because their constitution must be aligned to their act. Their act can't say this, the constitution says something else. So there should be an alignment between the CPA constitution and the CPA Act, but the CPA Act supersedes the constitution of the CPA.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If you do allow me, I have noted about 80 questions here. Some of them obviously will need a legal advisor to respond to. Others, my colleagues will have to respond to. So I'm not sure if I'll be out of order. If I were to quote the question here, then I would take this one legal will be able to respond, and this one my colleagues then they will be able to respond to. Or should I just focus on what I think I need to respond to?
Who direction was on the floor? I requested an intervention for the concurrence of the chair committee to say that the superseding issue is the provision of the CPA with respect to a body who can be sold. Like Dr. Mitchell said, they have no local standards. But probably you will have an understanding in your own practice as practitioners on the ground of the issue. So we thought that with the concurrence of the committee, it's a superseding question. After it's answered, I don't know, I think in all due fairness, the director would have needed to consider some way in there. Because there was always a risk that if the legal opinions go against what you are saying and doing, there was going to be a mess. I think those are the words that you used. So that's why then we would prefer to get that legal aspect first. What does the CPA Act provide with respect to the end? I think that's that. The rest of the questions are secondary to this report.
Thank you, Honorable Member. In terms of the Act, the Executive Committee is supposed to be appointed for a term of 5 years. Once the term has expired, the CPA must facilitate for the annual meeting where they are going to appoint a new committee. So if the committee's term has expired, they must make the appointment with assistance of the department that a new committee gets elected.
But I think we have to respond to the question because the response is prompted another question. That the CPA was supposed to facilitate the AGM with the assistance of the department. If the department has realized that the CPA term of office has expired, then the department was supposed to facilitate or caution the CPA executive that your term has expired, can sit down and come up with a date when we're going to have the AGM.
One of the things that guides us in the type of intervention that we do is antecedents. There is a CTA in the Northwest where the term of office has expired and the department appointed what in terms of the interim committee. So taking the place of that executive committee that has expired. And then the CPA Executive Commission question went to court, and the court recognized the legitimacy
of the CPA, which had the executive committee, which for 40 had expired, and notified the executive committee, which we formed as an interim measure in preparation for the elections of the CPA. And one of the reasons why most institutions would find that previously, before we came up with the situation, previously we would have interim committees, was precisely because the executive committee or the whole executive committee has not wanted to complicate the process that we need to make sense of the new committee. Mainly because they are generally comfortable with the situation. And for them, it's a disadvantage if somebody else is to come in and manage the affairs of the CPA. So it gets them better to prioritize in that chaos that is created when there is no valid or maybe valid executive committee in place. So it is one of the reasons right now, instead of, you know, trying to do things administratively, because we had this setback of an interim committee to identify. Rather than trying to do things as administratively, we now have to resort to court so that for the effect of the court order, we can then implement whatever we have to implement. And we have to go to the court to have the power to do whatever intervention we want to be in the court.
Director, we want to follow the logic of the court, and we're not taking us through that. We want to say the court nullifies definitely all courts, we're not because that all courts will always be on these grounds. Because you bring an amendment, you want us to facilitate, but you deny that as an issue.
Why would the interim,
why on what front? Okay, you have done it only, you have not even consulted, so give us the grounds.
Why do you have so much that? What is the action? Does the action indicate something to the income community? Because if the action is coming, then it means that after the term of office, the CPA, you facilitate the action that you cannot income community. But if the action is silent about the establishment of the income community,
However, the committee which I'm also has expired also. when so-called and nullify as the contractor for nullifying that AGM and interdicting, the department will continue to go for that AGM because in terms of the constitution, it's only the executive committee that is authorized to call for this meeting to happen. So the reason, maybe I should also inform the committee about the reason why initially we had contact for the interim committee was in both instances, because the executive committee are not going to relinquish power, and the members on the other side are agitated. They want to see a process that will enable the AGM to happen. The CPA tends to be divided into two types, with some supporting the kind of executive committee services, but also certain benefits that will be flowing from the executive committee to the office. And some members agitating for change within the agency. Now, when we form the interim committee, generally what we will do is we will take a certain number of members from one side and a certain number of members from the other side, bring them together into a committee, and get them to agree on the terms of the committee. If you decide to produce a chairperson, on the other side, you must be a deputy chairperson. If you like to produce a secretary, on the other side, you must be a deputy secretary. And the mandate of that interim committee is not really to run the affairs, the financial affairs of the CPA. If so, mandate,
the question has on two grounds. I think you don't pay us in the budget implementation because on one ground is the cause that is
such a ground. The ground on which, the ground on which the interim committee was set aside, it was undetected. And the CPA constitution requires the committee to be elected. Yes. Yeah, it was appointed on the basis that I have had earlier.
What I want to find out is that you should make interventions. Interventions must be hazardous. You cannot make any intervention if you don't have any data. And part of the data you use is to bring in the constitution. That should allow for an interim structure. If no, then where do you get this for the interim structure? What other measures could you have used other than the interim structure? Because the court rejected on the basis that in terms of the constitution of the CPA, in terms of the Act, there is no room for this player than the other. In the right, well, they are rules, well, they are rules.
Yeah, in a chocolate, in instances where you find that where we have things like interim committee existing, it is following a negotiated process. It's not something where we just reach negotiations and say, send us training, and then they call committee. We go there, try to mediate the system, and then we want people to facilitate the process that we need to relate. And then the one group will be saying, no, we actually don't have confidence in these people because there is so much that they have not done properly. And then in order to let them the play field, get the confidence of the other side as well. Okay, what kind of mechanisms do we then put in to ensure that the process that is to the initiative, what that strategy should be taken by all the members? And then negotiated settlements will then be agreed upon. It's only right at the end when people realize that now things are going to happen that they do not have to happen. Where the issue of the one member that is like, let us have what you call set this process aside and then you continue to be in office while there is this change that is in the agency.
Okay, I thought that the question that the members asked you, you must try to answer to the fundamental one. They basically just ask, is there a legal process suggested by the text to actually intervene when an agent has not been held? I thought that's the question that you must ask. And you could even broaden it and say, is there a mechanism that the department has to intervene timely? And I think that the answer is contained in what I tried to say. We have 3,000 or so legal entity forms for employment reform. It would not be correct to say the department has got 3,000 people available to see to the needs of the CPA. What the department has done, and in the sense of what the Act requires, and I think my colleague just read, unfortunately, is reading the room now. What is just read is basically what the department must have in the report, in the annual report, a question that was asked very clearly. And earlier, a question was also asked, what did we say? On the Rama one, I remember, because I came to Parliament, there's always been a report on Rama and the need for regularization. But to go back to the question that was asked by Mr. Honorable Mbuni, I think that must say that the lack of capacity in the department has prevented the department from having the eyes and ears on the ground to know what's happening on each and every CPA. That is the truth. But the other thing is that what we have then done from the national office, as I have indicated in this component, is to say what would a constitution, typically a performance constitution, look like? And the rest is then left to the abandon as it is, was saying. So the lack of capacity to see to the daily needs of the CPA is partly the problem for the delayed reaction. But I also wanted to say that with the amendments that we are proposing in the CPA that we're bringing to Parliament, that capacity is being built. What we have perhaps tended to happen is that the department has been responsive or reactive to when we get to know. So a member of the concerned group, for instance, complains or somebody else says, we haven't had, that's when we get to know what has happened in most instances. In this particular instance, I think the department is saying, when we became aware of the need for regularization, we enlisted the help of dispute resolution specialists in the group that has been called. Then, unfortunately, that program as well was infested, if I can call it that, with problems of its own. And auditors have been cutting away things the bank not agreeing to. Because one of the things that is a requirement in the CPA report is, first of all, the names and identity numbers of the existing members. If an AGM has not been held, to cause the CPAs to have these AGMs, as well as to supervise, if you like. We even bring at least the help of IEC in getting these elections done. But all of this is triggered by somebody having said an AGM has not been held. In this particular instance, as my colleague has explained, the option of getting an interim executive committee was not considered for the reason that he has said. We had precedent where courts have set aside our own committees or recommendations for interim committees for a number of reasons. But I think that the point on this particular one, we must say, it seems that from 2007 to 2014 or whatever the time, there was this delayed reaction and occasioned by a number of factors which my colleague has just spoken about. But there is no way, I don't think, that we would ever be in a position to know which entity, whether or not each and every one of the CPA that we have established has had any AGM. No way.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I don't want to add to what my colleagues are saying. See, the main problem that we have with the Act is that the Act does not give us the powers to take control of the CPA when things are applied. It says here, CPA is established to hold land and management. And then we also have to come up with their own constitution, their own government. But it doesn't say government take over the CPA. That's where the problem is. For us, we have to assist them to regularize the CPA, to make them compliant
other than we have to go to the court. And the court they also have, because they're still controlling the budget and the money of the city, they can take the money to the court and you know, the litigation of the litigation. That's where our problem is. Now, the department is coming up with amendments to rectify such things. Right now we are thinking of operating like ship operating. If the CPA is not, spending, the books, the AGMs, the financial AGMs, we have to deregister. But not the thing, because education, I don't give a power to take over. We just say, go in a ship. If we have a power to take over, we will not have all the problems. That's the main thing of those three.
I wanted to find out with the amendments that still there, because when I was trying to change, for example, it was too much people. Another company, and not the assembly, was so-called auditors or accountants. And they can do my books without you guys knowing that I'm doing this, that, that. Which I think was cheap. I'd like to change my dressing for a little before I can have this, because I'm a man, my mother says, for example, the same, that the company must have it. The financial, which is not just financial, but obviously nothing is better than a legal form. Just saying, what debt, on your amendments, what debt you have that we can be able to make engage for us to get solution to this. For example, I wonder if Mama is in social capacity, especially in other words, human capacity, Mama, if I get it correct. You know? And let's say we have a 3,000 CPAs, we must have two each, somebody dedicated to do an oversight. What is required? Now, you know, I was just thinking out loud, you see. There was last year, if I'm here before you correct me, the CPA said Malamala, the Sempumala. You know, I just saw an article lately, with nothing is moving, it's still a presidential. That's why not that as a Christian went out thinking which they are now. He got what he was. I'm sure it was not easy to be itself now and then that it's come up with clear. Now after this amendment, there will be another amendment. That is my view. There will be the special chair, that time we asked we don't engage this. I think this engagement is easy. The president has come up in the president we engage, I think I like what we've got questions. Why they say no, they think this is better. I say no, it's not even better.
Thank you, sir. This question. Are you stopped from interdicting them or anyone from running the affairs of the CPA? If you are, why do you think you are anymore?
I'm not
my question. Yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Member. In terms of the common law, there is nothing that stops us to entertain any person about something wrong. But the challenge with, especially with the Rama CPA, remember what we have now is allegations of misappropriation. Hence the department has to appoint Susan Sabinbok over the auditor to make sure that whatever the allegations are being made are being proven. So at this moment, we do not have anything concrete that we can say, yes, really, Ms. Anchit, or whoever you have committed for.
Just to follow up on that one.
The term of office has come to an end. Period. Concrete.
Thank you. Another question, follow up on that, sorry. Last year, remember there's a change maybe pending, not a guy in my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
What agreement do we have there? Investigation, how far is it? Because it truly takes years with this investigation. I'm just following up for
it's clear that any suspicion of maladministration in a particular court is difficult to prove it because there's no cooperation from Rama. So hence it's important to help the other institutions, the law enforcement institutions, because the departments hands are tied behind their backs, change at this point in time. And it will not be out to sit back and say, well, let us wait on. Maybe things will come right by itself. For my ADGC, it will not come right back here. We need to do something very completely and very, very soon. I think what department must also begin to think of doing, say, is to look at amending all the constitutions of the cities, to give it a greater trust to the department to intervene decisively, and not depend on, as Dr. Wood was saying, this broad CPA Act, as I say. Let the constitutions be speaking to the interventions power of the department. The analogy, say, that Commissioner Chamberlain made earlier about my apology, ADGC as referred to it, sure, lack of capacity and resources. I think the analogy was for it. It says that the father has been absent from this child. The child grew all on its own. Now the father came back after 5 years and wanted to tell the child what to do. It's not going to listen. The father is actually what is happening here. Because if there has been a father, a partner that has been present in the first anniversary of the child, the second and the third, then the child will not yell against the father after 5 years. Okay. And I think, and I certainly hope that this, in terms of the new unit and the capacity that the ADG is referring to, that you would help a continued present of father, chair. Thank you very much.
Yes, because I want to propose the thing. Yeah, I want to propose the thing. I guess the same question is that which is needed to be answered, but it's clear once we were dealing with the family that the rest of the questions fall in line one or the other with whatever response we get. But Chair, from Honorable Mandela and the rest of the colleagues here, I think I've never seen us so united across the spectrum of the committee on an issue like on this one. Clearly, I was following the line of questioning, and in that line of questioning, the issue is, see, when you go to court, you go there to request the court to grant that ruling on access to money and this and that. But the most profound, I think, that Honorable Sultan makes that point that the term is over. That's a priority issue. That's a priority issue. Because the new people, they will then be signed into the bank and there's a clear assumption date. They can then have the will. They can then have the will to operate with the department to investigate. It's not that much like stands from Honorable Madrid. If you continue to want to investigate through the backlash against your hostile environment, they continue to exist, they continue to have other projects, they continue to, so illegitimate people, definitely illegitimate, are continuing. So it's strange why in that rule you didn't ask for the process that you're talking about. That effectively it is effectively called the AGM supervisor. If the rule was along those lines, it would have been so wonderful, because that's what you want. The new committee working with the department could then investigate retrospect what has happened to the funds, you know. But you don't seem to be going to the office for the purpose of seeking to foster or enforce it for the AGM within 2 weeks, within 1 month. Come, Chair, and after the response was moved that it's in line with the resolutions, because I'm clear that the committee is unanimous in this with whatever amendment politically is, that the committee, the chair person on our behalf, write to the department and ask them to if they write something. That correspondence will get the basis, so I know your court will ask for evidence.
Then he says, now in Parliament correspondent, that says the matter is urgent and what was. Has to be wait for the urgent. Then such a correspondence be issued, and then as a basis for, alongside whatever other, but as a basis for supporting, turn your hand to approach courts for an AGM. The AGM is supreme, the rest are secondary. The AGM. Thank you. The agency, the Honorable Madam, it takes some time. The company is a proclamation before the, in the FIU action. Right, I think there is. It takes another year for before the FIU. Don't just wish to get the FIU and then the following FIU is there. I know it takes time. I do know it takes quite time. There got to be proclamation and things. But if you go to court and ask for to enforce sanction on them to call in AGM and supported by the department, then the AGM process is gone. Thank you.
Sir, can I use this opportunity? No. Like Malamal, I think you're just after 14 years, okay? That issues, the Malamal, the poverty plus minus 8.7 million. But community members did not benefit unless we ask who benefited, how did they benefit, because they paid this rental fee. They're saying, on which account do the department deposit the money to whom it should take? It is your aim, your target. I think I was from France and Malamal. It shows that it's not only abnormal capacity. I don't know just later stage thinking which will tell us later, but it's all capacity problems. Which even have power. Maybe can we get, because I'm a body which now and then the one that chair you raised which is Okuna Live later. You went to not where you know, they are the same history itself in different countries in different cities. Thank you. Now I like to share, maybe one more thing. So we give people title. That's another option. Than to, you know, our the thought which is, give me, my name is Jimmy, which is, it doesn't look like that. Take ownership, come with it, because that department tends to give people as the Rashuba, which we tend to say, after 5 years, no, we consider, I'm not going to respect you as a father, you come late in my life.
Let me respond by saying that clearly the CPA as an act doesn't give you powers, but in way due to that power, she's not been able to use that power. For instance, this issue of administration, judicial administration, it's a legal instrument that we should have used. It requires the department to take over the powers of the committee. It's something that we could have used, but I don't want to bore the committee on why the judicial administration is used as the last resort. Because as you can well imagine, taking over taking over somebody's household and running the household, getting the bank account, it's not something that, it's not something that the department does easily. It requires using going to court, as you said, with the local church, using whatever means, funds, to take that legal persona to court. The one thing that was asked long ago by a committee, which we have never really dealt with, is this whole thing of whether or not the CPA is the correct land-holding mechanism model to hold the land. This is an issue which the department, I remember because I was around, had not dealt with. Partly because the CDA is a child of the department. So the land holding mechanism and all the problems is our own, if I can call it that, creation. So you can't immediately wake up the next day and say, we deregister all this, because it will have vast financial implications. But I think that the first thing that we must hear is that there needs to be this
capacity to be able to exercise even the basic functions that the legislation calls us to exercise. And that's what we are busy doing. Certainly, any additional weight put behind the department to be able to act on this one, instead, I'm going to the proposal by Honorable Mboni to say that any weight that we can have put to actually expedite this matter. Of course, have their own timetables and how they function. But certainly, on this one, I think the message we are hearing is really loud and clear that the actions could have been expedited, must be expedited, even at this late stage. It is not only with this particular CPA, it is generally with the others. I personally have sent that message. Thank you.
can give us a report also. So that the committee might be also doing the oversight to visit those CPAs to the solar defense information of what is happening. That cannot be the father of the CPA, not the child of the CPA. I want to go and have a woman, Umbagwai, and ask if this is the father.
Then the other one, Apollo Leave the shower.
The matter pertaining to page 4 per se, but a matter that should have been part of page 4. I think we need to have a template for writing minutes. If you compare the minutes of the 11th with the one that we're looking at, you'll find that on the 11th, there is a subsequent paragraph where there are recommendations or something like that. Here, it's like we discussed matters, and abruptly we just went on to the next item, and then we went on to the there's nothing in this minutes that says how we viewed and recommended and concluded this matter. That's why I'm suggesting that we should have a standard template so we know what we expect, you know, from the minutes. Accordingly, this minutes are lacking in some transparency there, you know, what area. They need, you know, we need to have a paragraph. They cannot be passed as they are.
Chair, on page 4 and the invitation, the committee received an invitation from the partners to attend the land reform summit in Johannesburg. It says the committee was unable to attend because of lack of funds. However, Mr. Walters volunteered to attend the summit as was going to be held in Johannesburg. I'd like to add there, because I think Professor was said at that session of the meeting, he reported his strongest objection at the short notice. Given a short notice given for this learning data. Thanks.
although I remember when it was advertised in that campaign that you mentioned, but it might be not a strange news to appear in the minute. But on the minute, I don't know, but I think the fact that they're saying it by Honorable Susan is correct, because they should give a 10-day of touching the minute. If recommendations are appearing on the report, we must know that they only appear on the report, not on the minute. But if in other minutes find recommendations, in other stands find recommendations, then there's no point to teach it. I think that must be considered. If there's no need for the recommendation to appear on the minutes, then all the minutes don't have recommendations, but recommendations appear on the report. But if the minutes are supposed to have recommendations, means that all the recommendations, all the minutes don't have recommendations. That's for the sake of information and consistency. Can I get the move on to the amendment?
I would recommend, that you accept that only, with the inclusion of the recommendations, I will still tell you, will still remember what was recommended or concluded.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I'm sure it's been too long for the strategic plan and the announcement, because it gives information about those evaluations that you check on the report. If there are no recommendations here, the recommendation that you check on the report is the one that they have started adopting.
Now, for consistency, if the way he came the recommendations, he should keep it as recommendations, then recommendations are better in the report. Just for consistency, but you must not highlight them because it's just a difference of minutes, You read the minutes for the whole night and day and the year. But to show the reflection that recommendations are here among the report. Nothing compared to the report. Another was to learn a move, then any second.
That needs to be given yet. Is it working?
Mm.
It's I think that it is a very simple case of what I suppose you can say that comes as an apology. I was also under the impression that apology was given, and if it's for some, again, if there's some precedent that it may need to be writing and then all of that, then fair enough. But if you then record this meeting, my comments on the minutes of the previous meeting, that certainly myself and Mr. Longo believe that he submitted an apology, and that we recorded this meeting's minutes.
Thank
you. I just want to double check if we're already surpassed those minutes, because now I'm not members of the commission myself, and then what's wrong with where the place that we can't
Thank you. that in the plenary committee. So members are not exactly that way. We're not making the committee wait for 2 weeks or 3 weeks the couple of management. Where a plenary in the morning for one day to be able to sit and not plenary to sit and plenary in the afternoon. Any comment on the problem that you can say?
The briefing by the department and all parts of the firm's evidence on annual performance plan. I just want to clarify that includes the 15th session proposal and proposals on land tax and foreign land ownership that included this. I appreciate the efforts. I think we have a standing position from our side that we put down every single doctor report. We want those policies to go to the committee. It does sound to me, and I appreciate the effort that you're making in that report, but it does sound to me that there's no guarantee that there's a matter of entry delay to the committee, so in that basis we'd like to oppose the swap program.
Thank you. I'm Are you registered, sir? Are you?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
I'll check the digital.